John chapter 15, and we're going to read two verses. John chapter 15, and verse number 12 and 13. John 15, Gospel of John chapter 15, and verse number 12 and 13. It says our custom here, if you would stand for the reading of the Bible if you're able. John chapter 15, and verse number 12 and 13. This is the words of Jesus Christ. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And then he goes on to say this in verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Heavenly Father, Lord, so we take just a few minutes, dear God, to look at the principles taught from these two verses, and then, Lord, to apply them properly in the honoring of our veterans tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would bless again, dear God, those that have served and those that are serving tonight. And Lord, I pray that our young people walk away from this service with maybe a greater appreciation. Lord, a more heartfelt thankfulness for those who have served our country and those who have sacrificed so much so that we get to enjoy what we do each and every day. And so, Lord, bless our time here. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And very good. And you may be seated. I think it's very interesting what Christ said here, and all of the Bible is the Word of God, and so, you know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, but there is something, I think, special about the very words of Jesus Christ as they're recorded for us, and so this is important what we're going to look at tonight because of who spoke these words, and of course, that was the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's important to look at because of not just who spoke these words, but also the subject of which he spoke. Because I don't know if there's anybody that we ought to pay more attention to when it comes to this matter of love and what really real love is than Jesus Christ. And number three, he spoke these words. And by the way, in some ways, these words were very prophetic concerning his own self. So he's not going to say anything in this portion of Scripture that he was not willing to live out and do for us. And so as we look at this, listen to the Lord define greater love. Did you notice verse number 12? He speaks first of all about love. And he said, this is my commandment. So this is the commandment of Jesus Christ, that you love one another. And what's the goal here? Where's the bar set? That we love one another as I have loved you. Well, folks, that sets the bar pretty high. Jesus didn't love us because we were deserving of love. He loved us despite the fact that we weren't deserving of love. And so I'm sorry, it's kind of a cheap imitation of Christ's love to only love people that are nice to you. Right. And only love people that love you back. And only love people that are kind to you, because that's not what Jesus did. He loved everyone, and he loved them despite who they were, despite what they've done. Boy, that's a good thing to remember. You know what? Hey, God loves you tonight, and Jesus loved you tonight, and he didn't just say it. Come on, in this day and age, words are pretty cheap, okay? And that word love is being thrown around by a generation that I don't know if they even understand the concept of the depth of it. But let me say this, Jesus understood what he was saying. And he spoke of love here. And he said, listen, I've loved you, so I want you to love one another to the same degree that I loved you. So he speaks of the subject of love in verse 12, but then he kind of takes it to another level in verse number 13. There's love in verse 12. There's greater love in verse number 13, and he defines it. Greater love hath no man than this, here it is, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I want to take from this scripture and give you some biblical principles, some truths that'll help all of us in our everyday life. But then, of course, we're going to take this then, this great theme, this great verse, and honor the veterans tonight. Let me give you some good Bible principles. Number one, Greater love is always defined by sacrifice. Now, let me just throw that out there. We'll take but a couple minutes on it. Folks, listen to me. One of the ways you young ladies, you young men can really begin to define and understand what true love is this. the greater love is always defined by sacrifice. If sacrifice is not involved, then it's not love. Okay, and again, we have a lot of fake love or false love that is being bandied about in our culture today. But a fake love or a false love, honestly, if you look at it, is defined by selfishness. Now think about this. A Bible caliber love is defined by sacrifice, but a fake or false love is defined by selfishness. I think Brother Klein mentioned to me several years ago, he said, one of the things that you said that I just kind of needed to hear, and it's resonated with me, and it's proved so true as I've meditated on it, is one time you said this, the opposite of love is not hate. I said this, the opposite of love is selfishness. And it'd be good for all of you to understand that, okay? Because greater love, when Jesus talked about a greater love, he defines it not by selfishness, but by sacrifice. And again, for God so loved the world that he, okay, this isn't so for God's love the world, for God so loved the world. He's talking about greater love right there. So loved the world that he what? Took advantage of? Was selfish? No, that he gave. So number one, greater love is always defined by sacrifice. Number two, greater love involves the laying down of your life for another. Now, I'll stop and think about that just for a minute, okay? Greater love involves the laying down. Isn't that the biblical term there? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man, now I want you to picture this for a minute, lay down his life. Now, I think that this can be defined two ways. And that's why when I'm honoring veterans, we've done this for a lot of years, okay? And we have a ministry entitled Operation Think a Vet. And a lot of times when I go up to someone who has served in the military and I'll say, are you a veteran? They'll say, well, I served in the military, but I'm not really a veteran. And I always didn't understand that because I'm not in the military. I've never been in the military. So sometimes there's a disconnect in the way they talk and in the way they view things. And it's almost like some veterans have this idea that if I wasn't involved in a war, then I'm not a veteran. And I don't think it's everybody, but there's some people that almost want to separate those two things. Now let me just say this. So this will help our young people to have the proper appreciation. You know what? Somebody that joins the military, you know what they do? For a certain amount of time, they agree to take their life. Okay, the next 4 years, the next 6 years, the next 8 years, whatever they sign up for, they've agreed to take their life and lay it down for somebody else. That ought to be appreciated. Okay, by the way, there may not have been a war going on when they chose to do that, but had there been, they would have been willing to go. And I think some of them are doing this out of humility, and I mean honest humility. And I do understand every military and every active duty personnel wanting to kind of bring up to the top the people that paid the ultimate sacrifice. And I appreciate that humility, but I just want to say this. Everyone who has served has laid down their life. Because for a certain amount of time, they could have taken their life. Because folks, listen, life is time. Okay, if you think about it, what is your life? If you're going to define your life, it's time. And any time that you take your time, and you lay it aside, you could have used it for what you wanted, but you lay it aside to serve somebody else, you know what? You're giving of your life. And so this, I believe, is not just talking about the idea of someone who dies for someone else, who lays down their life as in giving of death. I think this also speaks to the idea of laying aside of your life for a period of time to help someone else with their life. Life is time and time is life. Now, we're going to get to the veterans, I promise you, but young people, it would be wrong for me not to get you to kind of understand this, okay? You ought to have a great appreciation for those that are laying down their life for you. Okay, laying aside a portion of their life for you. Your parents are laying down their lives daily for you. Okay, your dad could be doing a lot of other things. Come on, there's a lot of families. Come on, there's a lot of families. Matter of fact, it's amazing the amount of our young people that are being raised in single parent homes. And because of a wife that decided she wanted to do her own thing. I'm gonna live my own life. I'm not gonna be encumbered with this lifestyle. I don't wanna be tied down to taking care of my children. So I'll just abandon them. Or a father that does that. Come on. And folks, listen to me. If you got a mom and dad, you know, every single day, your dad, in a sense, is laying down his life for you. There's a lot of things he could be pursuing that could be very selfish goals, and yet he's doing this for you. Moms, come on, moms. I'm not sure every other Sunday. I mean this. Sometimes I think I'm not sure every other Sunday shouldn't be Mother's Day. I mean that. I watch our moms around here, and I watch our super moms around here, and you know what? There's a period of time, especially when you've got them, those little ones, and I mean, come on. You basically have decided to lay aside your life to invest it and serve and raise children. That is a big deal. And I guess I want to say this to our young people. That is greater love. Okay, that is greater love. Okay, I watch parents lay down their lives for their children. Husbands, let's not fail to lay down our lives for our wives. Okay, we ought to be willing to do that. That's greater love. Greater love means, you know what, I could take all of my extra time and I could do this and I could do this and I could do that. Come on, is our love defined by selfishness or sacrifice? And so for every man to take a portion of his extra time and lay that aside in order to be a blessing and a help to his wife, do something nice for his wife, spend some extra time with his wife, that is greater love. And of course, the opposite side of that coin is true also. Wives, you know, let's not forget what greater love looks like. Greater love truly is sacrifice. And so think about that. Maybe all of us look back, and you young people that are, well, there's so many different groups I could mention here, but let's just, I don't mention this very often. Let's talk about your school teachers. Think about this. You know, they have laid aside their lives. They've laid aside a lot of hours of their life every week for you, so that you could benefit from their time, their attention. We have monitors that are volunteering, that are laying aside their life. They're coming in for a day a week or a half day a week. It's not that they don't have anything else to do. And they could take that time and they could serve themselves or pursue a hobby or do something more enjoyable. I want to lay my life aside so that I can benefit the life of, I don't care what application you want to use here, that ought to be appreciated. I mean, that ought to be defined in our minds as greater love, okay? And it always involves sacrifice. It always involves sacrificing of our time. I want to say to our ministry people here, and I mentioned a little bit this morning, but folks, there's all kinds of folks in this church that are sacrificing a good portion of their life every single week to serve at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, to serve the young people here, to serve our bus kids. Come on, those of you that take the extra time to get up early in the morning. It was a beautiful sunny morning this morning. Beautiful, sunshiny, warm, nice morning. You know, when it's cold and windy and none of us want to get out of the house. And then I come early to church and I'm hearing people cranking up buses and getting them all warmed up. And I want to just say, Ian, thank you, wherever Ian is. He's been coming over early and making sure our buses get warmed up and starting the buses. I mean, not just his, but starting them. Hey, you know what? He didn't have to do that. And, you know, he just comes over here and he doesn't do it with any fanfare. Nobody's here to clap or notice. And you know, and there's, by the way, that's just one job around here. There are scores of jobs around here where somebody's showing up where nobody else is seeing what they're doing and they're laying aside their life, laying down a time period or portion, because time is life. I want you to remember that. When somebody gives you their time, they gave you their life. They gave you their life. And so, boy, that ought to be something that is recognized and appreciated. Hey, let's all be willing to take some of our time to invest in someone else. Boy, it seems like it's true what the Bible predicts, where the Bible says in the last days, and I think we are in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And more we have people, and I don't think it's as bad in rural America but it's getting worse in rural America. And more people are just so selfish with their life and so selfish with their time. And I think every one of us ought to say, you know what? I want to spend part of my life every week investing in somebody else. You know John 3:16? Well, how about 1 John 3:16? All right, you'll be able to remember that. You can turn to it later, but let me read it to you, okay? 1 John 3:16 says this. Think about this. Really slow down. Think about it. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Huh. So hereby, whatever he's going to say next, this is how we perceive the love of God. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So you know how children at Blessed Hope Baptist Church perceive and understand, grasp the love of God? They first see it by the love of God's people. And when they see people willing to give their lives, lay down a portion of their life to benefit them, all that is, folks, is us doing for others what we learned from God. Come on, we love God because he first loved us, and we learn how to love by watching God. And when Jesus was willing to lay down his life and give it to us, then you know what? That sets the standard. That sets the bar as Christians. If we're going to carry the name of Christ, Christians, then what we have to say is, if we're going to be recognized and defined by our Christianity, then what we need to do is be willing to lay down our lives for others around us. So laying down of your life, can be defined as taking some of your life, time, and investing it in someone else. And of course also, and I think the primary interpretation, the laying down of your life can also in this verse, in our text verse, can also be defined as giving up your life for another person, where somebody literally is willing to die for someone else. And I'll think about that. And years ago, I got on the internet and I just started searching for stories on the internet about different people that literally was willing to die so that somebody else could live. Okay? Somebody who is willing to give their life. They made a momentary, quick decision to give of their life, knowing that they were going to die, so that somebody else could live. There was all kinds of stories. I read about this elementary school principal. The principal was supervising the loading of her students onto the buses at the end of the school day. One of the buses pulled in to pick up the students. Something happened with the driver. He had some kind of a medical condition, lost control of the bus. The bus jumped the curb, careened towards a small group of children. The principal ran between the bus and the students, screaming at them to run, pushing some of them out of the way as the bus struck the principal. All the students survived, but the school principal was struck by the bus and was instantly killed. By the way, those children were given a chance to live out their life because somebody died for them. Somebody else died for them. That's pretty powerful. I read a story where there was a father and son who were walking on a frozen canal, and the ice broke, sending both of them into the freezing water. The father's trying to stay above water and hold his son, and he's crying for help. And there were some men working at a construction site, and they ran over, wanted to help, didn't have a rope, finally tied some extension cords together. Meanwhile, the man is running out of energy as he's holding up his son, trying to stay above the the effect of the cold water starting to shut his body down. And so when they threw him the extension cord, he wrapped it around the waist of his son, and with his last ounce of strength, pushed his son on top of the ice, and they began to pull him. And the adult son wrote about this years later, and he said, the last time I looked at my father was when I was being dragged across the ice, and I looked back at him, and he was holding on to the edge of the ice, and our eyes met, and then he disappeared, and that was the last time I saw my father alive. You know, there's a father that said, hey, you know what? I'm willing to die so that you can live. Folks, look, and I was impressed not just by these stories, but about the effect that it had on the people who were allowed to live their lives because somebody was willing to die for them. I read the story here of a young lady. She shared the testimony of her mother who died so that she could be born. Her mother was diagnosed with cancer at the halfway point through her pregnancy. The doctor encouraged her to abort the baby girl so they could begin aggressive radiation chemotherapy. Having a mother's heart, she refused to do that and instead and chose to carry her to full term. So 3 months later, she gave birth to a healthy baby girl. But by then, the cancer had spread and was untreatable. Mother died 2 months later. And again, this little girl told the story of her mother, shared this story. And she wrote now, as a grown woman, she wrote these words, a day does not pass without me thinking of my mother's love for me. Now listen, I try to live a life worthy of that sacrifice. There's something about somebody dying for you that I think would just change you forever, okay? And of course, many, and we're getting to our veterans now, but many of the stories that were shared on these various websites were shared by military men and women who literally had a battle buddy, somebody else that was with them, choose to die so that they could be spared. And I'm gonna tell you, as I read those stories, my goodness sakes, you know, folks, some of you, we don't, and I'll mention this a little bit, but some of us do not just view our liberty the same way that these men that have served in combat view our liberty. You know, I just listened online to the testimony, the story of a Vietnam vet that just shared a little bit of his story. And he told of watching some of his dearest friends end up dying over in Vietnam, dying in battle. He said, when I was flown home and we landed into the States, before we went out and got on the Greyhound buses, he said, our commanders encouraged us to change out of our uniform into civilian clothing. And he said, I didn't understand why they would ask that of us. So I questioned him, why can't we wear these? Why shouldn't we wear these? And he had to tell these soldiers, he served in the Army. He said, well, there's people that are literally waiting at airports looking for people, soldiers coming back from Vietnam, so they can swear at them and cuss at them and throw ungodly accusations. There's even some people that are spitting on them. So maybe it would be best. And he said this when he was given his interview. He said, all of us coming back were expecting what our World War II veterans received when they came back. And he said, you know, we thought there would be a welcome, there would be an appreciation, there would be a thankfulness. There would be a parade. Instead, we're being told to change our uniforms. And he said, you know, to this day, he said, that hurts me. That bothers me. He said, at the end of Desert Storm, he said, I was driving down the highway and there were some people up on an overpass and they were welcoming back our Desert Storm veterans. And he said, somebody also made a sign and was holding it up beside him and says, this is for our Vietnam vets also. And that man told this testimony. I was watching the video. He said, when I saw that, he said, I had to pull off the side of the highway and I sat and wept. Because he said, all these years later, it was the first time I heard or saw anyone express appreciation. Folks, listen, somebody died for all of us. I'm talking about our veterans right now. We'll get to Jesus in a minute because, I mean, there is no better example of what I'm talking about than Jesus Christ. But when I see people and hear about people that want to disrespect our flag, and I hear about people, you know, these athletes decided for a time being that they were going to kneel during the Star-Spangled Banner, and people that are burning flags. Folks, they need to be put on a plane somewhere and sent to whatever country. If they hate this one, let's send them to one that they love. And so what I'm saying is this. I think some things ought to change you. Hey, these kids that the principal died for, something tells me they were changed. Every day of their life, I get this day because of what that principal. I mean, come on, that boy that grew up and the last time he looked at his dad was right before he went under the water. I think that fundamentally changed something in that boy. I'm going to live my life that shows some appreciation of what my dad just did. You know, this young lady that told the story of her mother. What did she say? A day does not pass without me thinking of my mother's love for me. I try to live a life worthy of her sacrifice. Folks, let me just say this about all of those men and women that have served in our armed forces. I don't care whether they laid down their life for a time period so that they could serve our country or whether they laid down their life to never take it up again. That ought to change you. There ought to be a fundamental change in Americans. You see, folks, I believe that patriotism is the natural emotional reaction of a well-read mind. And we're not reading our true history. And we're not taking the time. Hey, Veterans Day this week, parents, listen, I want to encourage you to do something, a couple things. First of all, if this is Veterans Week, and we're going to celebrate this Tuesday, then maybe sometime this week you ought to get online or you ought to pull a book off the shelf and you ought to read a few stories to your kids and remind them that you get to enjoy what you do because somebody didn't come home. Okay? And that ought to fundamentally change how you view our country, the appreciation you have for it, and by the way you live your life. Okay, I think that, hey, I'm all for it. Go plan, and I hope everybody does. 2026, I want everybody, blessed with Baptist Church. You plan you a family vacation. You go do some things that are going to build memories with you and your wife and your children, sir. But somewhere along the journey of that vacation, maybe you ought to find, come on, one of these veterans memorials or one of these. Come on, have you ever been to Arlington? Have you ever been to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier? There's something about going there that touches something and changes something. And you may not be headed that direction, but everywhere you go, there's national cemeteries. They're all over. All you got to do is Google it. I mean, what would hurt on the way to go do something fun to say, kids, we're going to take a little side trip here. We're going to each take some flowers or an American flag. And I want you to walk around and I want you to look at the names of the people. And I want you to think about what they sacrificed so that you could have. By the way, you pick it out. One flag per kid. You just walk around. Maybe you don't obviously know them or have to know them. But just leave for their family the fact, some indicator that somebody was here and that somebody cared and that somebody appreciated it. The more that we're just spending all our time chasing pleasure and we're not spending time passing down something sacred to our young people, the more we're dropping the ball, folks. There's a reason we have a bunch of idiotic college-age students protesting against America. And I'm sorry, let's start with the parents. Somebody dropped the ball. And they're being sent to universities that are not educating them. They're indoctrinating them and putting within their hearts a hatred instead of an appreciation for those that came before them. Greater love defines true friendship. Number three, this is the last one. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so greater love defines true friendship. The people, young people, let me speak to you again. The people in your life that are willing to lay down their life and take the time they could have for themselves and sacrificially invest it in you so that you have a better life, they are your friends. Okay? These veterans, whether you knew them or not, they are your friends. A false friend takes from your life. A true friend gives of their life. And what better example can we point to than the Lord Jesus Christ? You think about this. Greater love is learned from the example of our Lord. In John chapter 10, verse number 11, again, red letter words. Jesus said this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And Jesus Christ proved his love for us. You don't have a greater friend than Jesus. I promise you that that's true. You may have some wonderful friends. You say, preacher, my wife is my best friend. And a wife may say, my husband is my best friend. And we have other friends and they are true. I mean, defined by biblical parameters and principles, they are true friends in our life. Well, that's great. And by the way, you're blessed if you have them. But you do not have anyone that's proved their love for you and their friendship towards you than Jesus Christ. And he died on a cross so that he could provide you the gift of eternal life. He died. Come on, young people. Let's live like we appreciate this. He died so that you could live. Now, I'm impressed with the story of the principal and the father and the mothers and even these military stories that I read. I'm impressed by all of that. But all they did was give their life so that someone could continue on with a physical life, a limited life. Jesus died so that we could have life and have it more abundantly, but also so that we could have the gift of eternal life. Every single one of us, if we're going to be saved, has to come to a place and a point in our life where we realize that we're a sinner. The Bible's very clear about that. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And we understand that we fall way short of the glory of God. And how in the world can a person, a sinful man or woman, how can we go and spend eternity with the holy, sinless God and live in a perfect place if something isn't done about our sin? And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and nothing's going to change that. Okay, so that is the price, the punishment for sin. So that causes a dilemma until Jesus stepped forward. He said, how about if I die for their sins? Listen, somebody died for you, young people. You know why you ought to do right? Because somebody died for you. You know why you ought to love the Lord? Because somebody died for you. You know why you ought to live your best life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because somebody died for you. And that somebody wasn't just anybody. That somebody was the very Son of God who came down and died for your sins. And if you are willing to realize and admit, come on, embrace, own the fact that, preacher, I am that sinner. I am that one that Jesus died for. And you know what? He didn't have to, but he chose to. And Jesus died on the cross for our sins. The Bible says he was buried and he rose again the third day. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the Bible talks about this idea of believing in our heart with all of our heart that Jesus died for our sins, was buried and rose again. And then the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So a person who comes to that point of a realization falls under Holy Spirit conviction that I'm a sinner and I fall short of the glory of God and the penalty of sin is death and somebody has already died for me. Now I can ignore it. I can refuse to accept it. And then I'll have to die and I will have to eternally pay for my own sins. Or I could accept what he's already done. And he loved me. He proved it. He wants to spend eternity with me. But I have to receive the gift that he has purchased for me. If you're here tonight and you never received Christ as your Savior, I pray tonight that you'd be saved. I hope that all of us will leave with more of a sense of appreciation. Kids, and by the way, adults, this is good for us too. Let's look around a little bit and notice how many people are on a weekly basis laying down their lives so that our lives could be made better. Let's appreciate that. And then let's take this week and let's maybe do a little reading. All right, come on. You can Google everything else. All right. I mean, if you want to, just the Medal of Honor recipients. Just Google that and read about 10 or 12 of those stories. I'm making it as easy as I can for you. But I think it would change America. I don't think we'd see on the TV what we're seeing. I don't think we'd hear in the halls of Congress what we're hearing. If we had an America that just turned around and realized, hey, somebody died for us. And why don't we start living a life that shows some appreciation for that? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you that we, Lord, have the opportunity and the privilege to be in this great country, to live in this great country, and you've been so good to us. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless, dear Lord, our time, dear God. In just a few minutes, we're going to get a chance for this service to be dismissed. We're going to have a gift waiting for our veterans back at the back. Lord, we want them to feel loved and appreciated and that we've taken some thought and time into this. Lord, there's no way. How do you pay somebody back for what that they've done? How do we do this, Lord? How do we ever say thank you enough? And we can't. But Lord, I pray this week would be on high alert, looking for opportunities to try a little. And Lord Jesus, I hope this week, as we're thanking those who died so that we could have freedom, we would also thank the one who died so that we could have eternal life. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we'd live our life a little bit more differently. And Lord, help us not to get caught up in the wicked unthankfulness and selfishness that seems like it's an epidemic across our nation. And Lord, I just want to tell you, thank you for dying for me. I want my life to honor your sacrifice. Help me to live like I'm thankful. We pray these things in Jesus' name.